Welcome to AfterBuzz and Black Hollywood Live. We're back together again, doing the team up to cover episode 6, Value of Atlanta. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes.
Come on, y'all.
We got a beard. This is Dee's first time on the chat.
Oh, my God.
You rookie.
I didn't type that. All right. This is
me. Actually my
I didn't type that many Ds.
The reason you're hearing things is because we do have the live chat. So for those who are tuning in, get on there. We'll talk to you.
Yes. Looking Jeff forward to it.
Oh, was I supposed to
whoa,
do that first?
Whoa. Aggressive with the phone.
Was I? Totally an accident. My bae.
I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me every week at blackgirlnerds.com and everywhere on the internet at Joelle Monique. And this is my lovely panel.
What up, guys? Jeff Graham here. Thanks so much for tuning in once again. For those who are watching on AfterBuzz, thank you. For those who are watching on BHL, thank you. Tune into both. Sometimes we're together, sometimes we're not. It's a surprise every week. That's the best part. You guys can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham.
That was a great, great intro.
Yeah.
My name's D'Angelo. Follow me on Twitter at D'Angelo TV. Follow me on Instagram at D'Angelo. That's all I got. I'm going to echo what he says. Let's go to the left.
Hey, and like everybody else said, I'm so glad to be back with my family again, because this is who I was started with day one. But my name is Raylan Taylor, and you can find me on Twitter at Ray Taylor Gang, and we can't forget.
Did you throw out a day one nigga reference right now
yes.
off the break?
Like
first
yeah,
of all, I'm here by myself on the couch. Representing AfterBuzz, okay? You
love
by
it.
Myself.
Okay.
You
love
it, Taylor. You guys have set me over here, beef. And it's fine, because I'm the always-at-home homie. The bathrobe heartthrob at I Am Terror.
The bathrobe heartthrob.
If you don't know, you should ask somebody that somebody should possibly be your girlfriend. Find me on IG, Snapchat, and Twitter at I Am Terror, because I think, therefore, I am Terror.
Wait. How long do we make it without a curse word in the episode? About 5 seconds before 10
minutes? Yeah.
I think we had a curse word before that until like...
What curse word? I simply dropped a reference as we are watching the show Atlanta.
Okay.
I am a product of my environment.
All right.
Okay.
All right, you know what? I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
If they're watching the show, they can handle a couple.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Except not from you, Jeff.
Except not from me.
I just throw that out there.
We learned that episode one.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know before. If I had I have not watched the episode, I wouldn't have known. So.
It's not true.
Damn. That is not true.
And you would have unfortunately
true.
Got had to get beaten down.
No, right? There's just no way. Okay, so anyway,
you know what,
here.
Jeff? I like you so much, you get one pass.
I know.
Use it wisely.
No, definitely not in the show.
I'll tell you this is outside. Like,
if it's the rule, then you have to only be with him in a room. Like, I can't be
around. Lock the door.
Jeff, don't you dare. I will kick you out so fast.
This is definitely going to be a dope situation where he allows it, but all of us just slap you across the face like we don't.
But I'll still, like, ends. Forgive you after.
Yeah.
I will keep it on the line just to come in.
I still love you.
They're not feeling well. You know what? Atlanta should hire me as a writer because that is a dope scene.
It's pretty
we should
funny.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's
we'll co-write this.
We
script.
Have a show on.
All right. We gotta talk about the show
Wait,
that we
let's
just
get
watched.
Into it.
We're having too much fun today. I'm not mad about it. So we had a pretty van heavy episode, which is
yeah,
super exciting because we've all been missing Van.
No,
we've been
not
talking
we
about
all.
Her.
Jeff yeah. has been missing Van.
That's because
well,
Van
Joe,
is
though,
amazing.
Van? What did
van,
I miss?
Van
I
is big.
My girlfriend and I each have one cheat.
I love
and I've officially replaced my cheat.
She's so
wait,
good.
Who was your cheat before?
Yeah.
The girl who worked at Rite Aid down the street. Guys don't have like a list like
yeah.
that. You know what I'm saying? It would be the girl who was available at the time.
Girls have lots of lists for different
I hope she's
situations.
Not next door.
Thank you.
Dick
she's
I would ride, guy whose pocketbook I would
whoa!
Use.
Like, whoa!
Whoa!
Real.
Oh, list!
Joelle.
Okay.
Joelle.
Taran,
stop it.
She brought an engineer and got that real.
But you did say that this was a van heavy episode.
Yes.
And I think it was a van heavy appearance episode, but we didn't really learn much about Van. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think
we learned that
a lot. I think we learned a lot.
Well, okay. All right. Well, let's visit that in the first scene because I feel like we got a lot from her and her friend. We were trying to decide friend or not friend. Where does everybody stand?
Everybody got a Jade.
Yeah.
I feel like
nope.
I have. I
not
know a Jade.
You are Jade.
I'm
what
not
do you mean
Jade.
Everyone has a
that's
Jade?
An insult.
Raylan is
wow.
a Jade.
That's
it's not an insult. It is a culture. Of women that exist in the black community that we have not been explored in the past. It is a culture of
but
black
Jade.
Women who
wait, what aspect of Jade are you referencing?
And I'm talking about remember when she talks about value and how she determines her value and her worth, and it's almost in a monetary lifestyle sense. There's an aspect of black women that do that, and it's true. And there's women across the board, but it's something that I've realized very new in the black community that I've seen in the past 20 years.
Instagram, what does she call her? Escort?
Instagram escort.
Yes, this is new and fascinating.
Yeah. So many thoughts. It's funny because I feel like it's easy to immediately hate Jade. But there are things I kind of like about Jade.
There's not one thing I like about
Jade. I like
Jade
because I do understand the whole thing, like the valuing yourself. Because when you get to a certain level, I feel like you need to find a partner who has a certain level as you as well.
But Jade's not finding partners. I told you.
Because that's what she's saying when she's telling her, like, you know, you are too up here. She messing with everyone. Okay, so, like, you know what I mean? So,
no, I hear what you're saying, but I still feel like, look, Jade, to me, look, there's a weird thing about valuing yourself based off how other people look at you.
Right.
Right. And if Jade stopped getting, you know, right swipes, like, then, you know, she's like, is that the right way? I don't do the things, the dating app, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if she stopped getting hit up for, like, guys, then she would not see the value in herself. You know what I mean? And to me, that's weird and kind of a false value. It's a false currency to base yourself how other people see you.
I would, like, she's a friend. Like, I would say she's a friend one. And then two, the aspect I do like about her is that she allowed Van to have fun. Like, Van doesn't get that. You know what I mean? Like, every person needs a friend.
Not feeling Jade at all.
Here's the thing. Did it go too far a little bit? Like, obviously,
she
yes.
She allowed Van to have fun on her terms.
Yeah.
She's a frenemy at best.
She's definitely
not a friend. This is not someone who's supportive of Van or anything. Mm-hmm. Van's lifestyle is occurring. She was judgmental from the get-go. Mm-hmm. There was clearly tension between the two. Mm-hmm. They were what a lot of girls interact with when they're competitors. They are not friends.
But that doesn't make it not a friend. I think a lot of girls are like that, and they like call those friends like ride or dies. I know girls like that.
Okay,
here's the thing. But, like, this whole idea of a frenemy is so foreign to me, and I'm not going to say it doesn't happen, because I've definitely seen women who are like, who, you're right, just want to compete with each other, and that's kind of what gets them on. That's where their whole relationship is, like, founded on. But it doesn't make sense to me to have relationships like that.
Yeah,
like,
see, that's what I'm saying. I know of a Jade, but never will I let a Jade come in and be like, this is my bestie. Like, no.
I'll come
into contact with a Jade, but I'm not going to go have lunch, and we're not going to meet up for Starbucks and have pumpkin spice lattes. Well,
that's maybe because you and your friends might be a group of Jades.
No,
have you ever thought about that? Like,
no,
you guys value. Listen, I'm on your Instagram. I look at your Instagram. I'm actually a fan. I'm a Raylan fan. I like how she handles herself.
Ray Taylor
but
gang.
At the same time, true Taylor gang. But at the same time, I also see a difference in lifestyle and things that you value and things that you, and as you stated very clearly off the top, right, that you said there is a value, and once you get to a certain level, then you can only be with a man who has that and more. Well, you've negated one of the most important aspects, which is a connection or a love, but you're saying, well, I will clearly be connected as long as the man has this, 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 and this. And I've seen that, and it's part of the club culture. If you go to a Hyde on a Sunday or a One Oak on a Tuesday, you see a room full of girls who are a room full of Jades. And it's no offense to you. It's not actually, I don't think it's a good or bad thing or moral thing like Joelle does. I just think it is a thing that we need to be aware of, and I haven't seen anyone approach it, and I'm glad that Atlanta at least attempted to do so.
Let me say this before the trolls come out and eat me alive. What I respect about the girls who appear to be Jades, the ones that are like when makeup games are on point, I can respect it. It's an art and it's beautiful. When you care a lot about your body and you don't care about who you're sexually free and you're comfortable like going from one person, cool, totally respect that. The things that bother me about Jaden are like the fact that she suggests a hairstylist that is clearly going to be out of her price range and says to fix her as though she didn't come in looking beautiful as hell. Like, these kinds of things. The fact that she has to tear this girl down in order to make herself feel better.
Yeah.
The fact that she places her value in how strictly just men see her. How the fact that she, you know, like, and look, and I can identify with the aspects of Jaden too. Like, the whole, like, no, I flew private. I mean, it was rent-a-private. I will pull that. Like, I'll hate myself as I'm saying it too. I'll be like, damn it, Joelle, reel it in. Like, not cool.
Yeah.
But I also don't, I'm really not really a fan of that aspect. Yeah. So all of these things in one person makes me not want to be around this specific person.
Yeah.
Here's what I have to say, though. So I think there's an element of Jade valuing what men think about her, but I also think there's an element of Jade, like, getting hers. And, like,
That's what I relate to.
I know. And that's what Darius is talking about, too. Like, there's an element of empowerment, and she's wielding it in the wrong way.
She does live the dream, but where, like, she said she hasn't worked a job where she hasn't been inspired, and, like, encouraged to smoke weed. So, you know.
I think, like, thematically, this show is hustle. Like, each of these characters is hustling their own way. And Jade is kind of
graham cracker.
You know? Like, she's
bars.
Kind of.
Bars.
Yeah. I think she's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bars.
But she's kind of getting hers. And, like, I think the elements of Jade that we're supposed to. It's like this douchey YouTube guy from episode 3.
Yeah.
Zan, yeah. It's kind of the same thing of, like, that conversation was the grossest thing I've ever seen. And then the very first scene. But there's elements of Jade's approach to life that I think we can admire.
But it's not, like, the grossest thing. It's actually, there is some value to the words that she spoke. Now, what we should pay attention to is the kind of guy that Jade's going for. It's not just a wealthy guy. It's a guy who's wealthy and has spotlight on him. Mm-hmm. It's an NBA player, NFL player, artist. These are the guys she's going for. She's not going for the wealthy doctor or the wealthy.
Yeah.
Even the friend who was a lawyer, you could tell he was the NBA lawyer. He wasn't just a regular professional, well-off professional. Mm-hmm. So she likes that lifestyle. And if she likes that on her own, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not judging Jade for being Jade. I am judging the fact that Jades exist and people like Joelle tried to deny their existence or separate themselves from their existence, like, you're better than they are, or they're better.
I don't think I'm better, but I would not choose to live or entertain those same circles. And it's fine. Again, like, there are aspects of Jade that I can appreciate, and we can even see it in Van, the fact that, like, they want the same, like, they're
each other's lives. You two even look like a Van and a Jade right now. Like, if you really look at it and, like, squint your eyes really hard, it's like the hair. Look at the hair, because she brought up the hair because she said he could fix those roots. Her problem with Van's hair was the fact that it was natural and it wasn't relaxed. And that's the thing. And the concept was that the hairstylist could fix her, right? Because that's what Jade's idealistic, systematic approach of perfection is.
Exactly. And the idea of perfection, I could go on for this for days, but we gotta talk about it at the reference of the show. Van and Jade, I think, really want each other's lives, aspects of each other's lives. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I think, the thing that sets them off. Like, as much as they are not kind of connecting, it's clear, like, Van would love to take off and, like, go to Paris or have fun or whatever. And Jade kind of is like, I think about having a kid, but then I'm like, nah. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, which is thing people say, and some people believe it, but I feel like maybe Jade wouldn't mind settling down if she found the right person.
She's
bored
of artificiality.
Well, maybe. But she's definitely got, like, but she found a way to get hers and to leave that. In order to have a child, she'd have to leave that. And I think she's not maybe prepared to do that. So then, of course, we get to the scene where Jade's like, come on, smoke with me. And I love the fact that Van can be bribed with weed. I just really liked, she put up, like, a 2-second fight before in her head she was like, no, this is happening. We saw her crack the smile, and she was like, yes. They smoked elephant, which is great. It means you can't move. I thought it was interesting that Van didn't confide. Like, and this is the thing that made me think they're not friends. Like, they didn't confide in each other at all. Like, she didn't tell her about Ern and, like, what they're going through. She was just kind of defensively saying, like, oh, it's not what you think, but without ever really talking about it.
Well, I feel like she kind of judges Ern because she's like, you're still seeing him, so I feel like she doesn't really approve of her. She wants her to be dating the
You
NBA
feel
player.
That? It's not a feeling.
She said it.
Yeah, it's
so
not a feeling.
So she said that, you know, she's not really feeling Ern. She needs to mess with the higher ups, so I don't think that's why she's probably not going to confide in her too much.
And it also gives perspective on why Van is so hard on Ern, because, like, that's kind of what's happening on the other side of her life. Mm. That's why I say we learned about her, because, like, we kind of got perspective on maybe why she put so much pressure on him, or, like, why she's counting on him. Because maybe, like, I'm guessing this is, like, her, you know, friend that she grew up with, like, forever, and, like, she's doing this. And, I mean, you're not, I mean, I would say I saw a level of jealousy out of Van, and you're not jealous unless you actually want something you see in them. So maybe just the comfortability, the financial comfortability, like, she definitely, like, kind of desired that.
Well, that's because Van comes from what you could tell from the episode is that Van came from a different lifestyle that was a little bit better.
Right.
She's from New York is something we kind of found out today that we didn't know, mm-hmm. that she's not actually from Atlanta. So that's one of the aspects that I did find about Van. But other than that, I don't feel like there was a deep actual character development of Van as a person. I found out about Van's satellite lifestyle, but I don't know anything more about Van as a person, except that she was culpable and bribed with weed. Yeah. That's it. Like, and I didn't actually appreciate that. I didn't appreciate that because the first chance that I got to learn about Van, I found out that she is slightly irresponsible.
I love the irresponsible people.
I know. Like, to me, it's consistent with all the character development we've seen on this show. Like, I don't think we've ever had a huge revelatory moment with any of these characters.
No degree.
It's all these really subtle decisions that create something almost more complex.
Which I think is a really great commentary on millennials and how, like, you know, we didn't, all, for the most part, we don't go out and start families. We start, like, friend groups and circles mm-hmm. and have roommates and we're navigating.
We create identities.
Yeah, and those identities are based strictly off of who we follow or who's following us. So I like this idea that we discover more about people based off of who they're interacting with and how they interact with people.
Wait, sorry to jump in, but...
No, go for it.
And we don't have to do it now, but we have some good, like, questions on the live chat so we can get to it whenever y'all want, but just
Excellent.
Yeah.
We're almost done, like, because, like, not a lot happened in this episode. I like Al and V together. They're, like, kind of almost sibling conversations is how it felt to me. Or, like, cousins. I don't know how you guys picked up on the two of them talking.
No, I feel like they've had prior, like, They had prior discussions before, like, you need to stop messing with Earn because you are distracting him from whoop-de-whoop-whoop. And, yeah. But I feel like it was, like, really irony for her to call him because he's like, girl, what you doing calling me?
I like that he kept calling her out on being
losers,
sloppy.
It's for losers.
See, so. Imagine if it was golden.
I found it interesting because you were saying that she wouldn't confide in Jade and vice versa. Mm-hmm. She didn't confide in Earn.
Oh, yeah.
No,
like, she
yeah.
did not
I thought
Earn,
that she would, too.
And she didn't because she wants to be the role model for Earn mm-hmm. and doesn't want Earn to know that she slips, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what it came. She did not tell Earn. She did not let Earn know that she had partaken in weed, which he wouldn't have been upset. He's clearly part of this.
Do you think he
would have,
like, took that as a pass to go, like...
He doesn't need a pass. He's mm-mm. been doing anything he wants regardless.
Yeah,
like, he doesn't need more of a hall pass than he already has. So what? The only thing that we could deduce from that is the fact that Van likes to be perfect in front of Earn because she thinks he's perfectly, like, imperfect all the time.
I think Van probably likes to be perfect all of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really understand a lot of the situation behind her giving birth, but everything we've seen from her, like, she can't find anyone until the end of the show when she finally tells the principal or her senior that she smoked weed. She's constantly on everybody about upping their game and making sure they do better. Mm-hmm. But when that's turned around, it's an impossible standard to hold up to. That's kind of one of the things I like about her. Maybe I'm not sure if it's just because I can identify or because it just feels like such a real flaw to have to want to obtain a level of greatness to try to do better. But, you know, especially when you're hanging, like, as we were saying before, the people you hang around when they're, like, you know, having fun and kicking back, like, Jade, it's infectious.
Jade's
like, get
in this
car, have fun.
Like, I don't think that's the concept. Like, see, it's easy to think that flying to London and New York is having fun, but it's not. It's actually work. It's kind of like when people don't realize when you go to the club, when you just go to the club, it's fun. But if you are a club goer, that's not fun. Like, you go to the club, there's actual work involved, whether it's the way you look or the way you act or the way you are or the way you interact. There's a power struggle and manipulation that goes on in club culture or high lifestyle culture that a lot of people don't realize because in the Instagram, it always looks great and fun.
But that's what I'm saying.
But to,
like,
get there is a lot of hustle.
But that's what I'm saying. But viewing it, Van, as she is viewing it from the outside, from the inside out, like, just exploring, like, to her, like, let me go have fun in this car. Let me go to this listening room. Let me just smoke, like, whatever. Like, let me chill with my girl like I used to before I had responsibilities, before I had to do things. And that is going... I think that's very infectious just to want to slip into a different identity and to escape the amount of responsibility. Like, Van has a lot. Like, if she... And she's right. If she's not perfect, like, what happens next? Mm-hmm. Like, Earn's not, in her opinion. Like, we see Earn and we've had talks about, like, is he hustling? Is he not? Is he, you know, we saw last week that he was able to accomplish a lot when put in front of the right people. But she doesn't know that because she doesn't confide in him, because she doesn't trust him, because she only trusts herself which is, again, just a major character flaw. She only trusts herself to be able to succeed.
And also, the numbers don't show that. Like, he's not putting right. up the mm-hmm. money.
You can't blame her. Mm-hmm.
So what did she say? She even said in an episode, if I lose my job, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't lose my job. I am the financial provider of this family. And so we don't see that from Earn. We don't see him financially providing for his part of the responsibility. Mm-hmm. Even though we do see that he's a caring father.
We do get that mm-hmm. moment in here where he's super mm-hmm. sweet. Dads are my kryptonite, guys.
It's so funny. When a dad does the littlest thing, everyone's like, oh my God, that's so sweet. He's supposed to do that. He's her father. That's what when mom does everything, it does. It's like, yeah, well,
our ovaries
you can't believe you smoked last night.
Can't do anything.
Mom.
I cannot.
Do we have?
I actually wasn't going to say, you go, actually.
No, I was just saying, like, is a live chat popping? Like, what's
yeah,
going
we
on?
Got, we like, got a hell of questions.
Going down.
Let's try to get the fans on. All right, we got like two good ones that I really like. The first one is kind of interesting. It might be lost in the shuffle of the episode. So
Who's it from?
This is by Sean. Sorry if I say the last name wrong. Kalo.
Thank you, Sean.
Right, it's Sean asks, what do you think was the significance of the white face, or do you think it was just supposed to be funny?
That's great.
That's a really good question.
That's a great question.
You guys want to take it?
The problem with Atlanta is I do think a lot of the time they are just trying to be funny. And, like, these choices they make have huge implications, but I don't know if the writers are like, we're doing this because. I think they're kind of just like, we are doing this.
I can only tell you how it came off to me, which is like,
I was offended, first of all.
Get out of here. If kids get bored and do stupid stuff.
Right.
Like, I don't think that kid had any idea other than, like, I'm causing mischief today.
Yeah.
Like, the teacher even said, like, he's going to catch holy hell. Like, you have to care this for me or I'm going to hurt him. And that's not going to be good for anybody. And his smile was just so, like, I'm having fun, like, making
trouble.
It was trouble.
So funny to me.
Yeah. No, I think it's just a little kid who was like, oh, this causes controversy. Which actually had to make me pause about these kids doing blackface. Which always just enrages me, but also, like, are you just being a dick?
Yeah.
Like, are you just having
his
fun
face,
being
like,
a dick?
His face is ingrained in my mind.
Like, yeah, I know. When you said that, I was like, oh.
You know what? What I kind of think is this. It was the last thing we saw, and there was something kind of spooky about, like, an African-American woman getting fired for not really doing anything, and then a black kid getting sent to detention. And it's almost like I viewed it as like a racial power thing.
Man, like I did not pick that up at all.
I don't. Yeah. I might be reading way too much into it, but I kind of viewed it as like there's still this hugely like there's still this huge imbalance where like a hardworking teacher gets fired for a mistake,
even after her boss admits like, oh, everybody does that, almost implying that she does it as well. But being like, but
oh,
he said it in the confines of my office where nobody will know.
That scene. Holy crap.
It was like, crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, but before we move forward, Tron, do you have whiteface thoughts?
I do. So when it comes to the whiteface, it's actually very interesting that this is the week that they chose to air this episode with the whiteface. So coming off news of kids in Florida who came to school wearing KKK outfits, and none of them were white, actually. It was two Middle Eastern kids and a Hispanic. Huh. And also Brian Eve in Texas, who went to school on Decades Day wearing a slave outfit. Everyone usually goes to Decades Day dressed as a hippie or someone with a fro, and he chose slavery as the decade, and he was suspended from school and sent home because he refused to change because it made everyone feel uncomfortable. Mm. That's kind of what the whiteface did. It was something to make the other kids feel uncomfortable. It was actually very smart because it was like it was actually a dichotomy of what was going on with Van. The Van we saw was twofold, right? The responsible Van, who's like almost selling out in a lot of ways, and then there's a part of her that still wants to be mischievous and fun and irresponsible that we saw for the first time and maybe the only time. Then on the flip side, we got to see this kid who is like put on white face and very smug with himself, is black on the inside, like it's black but with the white face,
right.
And he gave that smug white smile. It was actually a white smile.
What do you mean?
It was white privilege.
Damn,
his smug white smile was a bit of white privilege. It was very interesting.
That's smug.
It's like a dichotomy of it. And so I just thought it was very socially relevant that this was the week that it was released, and this is the week it just happened to happen. And as far as like the white face goes, was it very relevant to the entire episode? No. And very much yes.
Yeah, that's how everything that happened.
Like, that's what they do.
Yeah.
I
definitely.
Wait, one more question.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the fans keep commenting, guys. Firstly, I see a lot of comments in here, but let's one more interesting question. I thought I can say this name too. Wesley Simpson.
Hey, Wesley.
He said, do you think Van seeing the picture of the girl in Earn's phone played any role in her not saying anything about the situation she was going through?
Did it happen before or after?
It happened before. So she was already getting Alfred's number, which is why she had the phone. She had no intention of telling Earn, or we would have probably seen her do so right up to that point. So she was already getting the thing. What it does show, I feel like, is that any woman is still a woman. Like, she had a chance to go through the phone. She went through the phone to validate what Jade had implanted in her head, the Inception thought. Mm-hmm. It's just like the movie. Don't you think right? Earn is running around, and she was like, oh, you don't think I pick up the phone and tongue down my throat and trying to act harder and more tough than she really was, and then goes and just validates it. And it wasn't a very significant picture, and we don't have a backstory to it, but we did feel the split second of jealousy and hindrance on Van's part as she saw it.
We get a lot from Van, too, just in these small moments of, like, what are we going to do? And that Earn, she still feels like Earn is her responsibility, which I find really interesting, because I really didn't feel like in that moment she was talking about her and her baby. She's talking about them as, like, a familial unit. And it's intriguing to me how much Van wants to be with him, despite how much it also feels like she wants to slap him most of the time. Like, I don't know, even with the kid and stuff. Like, it seems like, again, the white face becomes more relevant to me now, because we get, like, a lot of masks with Van. Which is something, like, a lot of women have to do, just as far as, like, code switching based off of who you're talking to. And it's weird to me that she feels she has to do it with her friend. It's upsetting to me that she has to do it with her partner. And it's upsetting even more that she can't even go to work and, like, just be herself. Like, preschool teachers smoke so much weed, guys. Like, an insane amount of weed. Like, preschool teachers go to work high, leave, get high, go to sleep, get high. Like, constantly just weed. It really isn't a big deal for teachers. And the fact that she lost her job over just wanting to be honest for once, like, in the time that we saw her.
She didn't want to be honest. She got caught up.
She had to be honest, but she finally reached a point where she could be honest.
She reached a point where she's just like, F it, there's nothing else I can do. So the whole important part of that scene where everyone's like, oh, she got fired and blah, there's like a line. There's always a line in every single episode. And the line in this episode, in my opinion, was when she said, get over it. The system's not meant for anyone to succeed. So that was the whole line. Like, the system isn't meant for these kids to succeed. You need to get over that. Like, that thought and that right there is like that part.
Yeah.
Schoolboy, come on, schoolboy. Okay.
Can we talk about the line? Oh, it's all in the hair.
Oh my god, I saved it for the end for this reason. No. We're getting there. So Dirty Diapers grossed me out, guys, and we all saw it. And I don't know if we need to talk about it.
Also, the baby pee.
I was like, dang. Just get the training potty and then dump. Like, you ain't never gonna touch it.
Desperate times. That's where it keeps it warm. Call for desperate measures.
Look, here's all I know about.
I was rooting for
me too. I was like, I was on edge.
You
gotta do what you gotta do.
She's such a badass.
And I can't even speak about it.
Oh my gosh.
So stressed.
Yeah, it was
everything that happened.
I agree. Like, going through the garbage to, like, not taping it in the right place. I was afraid it was going to fall the whole time. Like, I don't even think that's really sturdy.
I thought when she was, like, power walking through them halls, I was like, girl, that condom about to drop.
And then chewing on in the thing.
Yeah, she should have opened the container, put the condom bag of pee inside it, and then opened it.
Have you done this before, Taylor?
I am a fan of something called common sense.
Yes.
And so whether I've done something or not, I know how things kind of work typically.
The bra is great. It keeps it at body temperature. Yes. When they actually drug test you, they're going to test the temperature of the thing. Like, it's just so many missteps. So many, like, things that just feel like they should be obvious. Like, bring a pin to just pop the thing. You got to make the peeing sound. Somebody's outside to hear you. Like, there's just a lot of steps she just did not follow, and it just brought me right to the edge. It's very frustrating. But yes, okay, so we have several hairlines in here. We kind of talked about Jade saying he will fix your edges, or fix those roots, which...
What's wrong with her roots? There's nothing wrong with her roots.
It's like aunties and grandmas being like, you know, he's a little relaxed. Relax your help with the texture. You know, it came out my head this way. It's good. I have a lot of strong feelings about this because I wear my hair naturally, for those of you listening. Yes, and it was a great transformation. It was fun and amazing. And so, like, it really irked, especially when you hear from black women, and you do hear from black women a lot, just being like, you can fix your hair. Like, no. And then to hear from a professional and to say, it's all in your hair. In other words, the idea that you smoke because you wear your hair naturally, or that you're some kind of juggy because your hair is naturally. I do smoke. I do wear my hair natural. They are not the same thing.
Hold on. That's what you took from that? That
I took it different.
It's all in your hair, as in I can tell you're a smoker because of your hair?
You wear... Yeah, she says you're like, it's all out there. It's all in your hair. Like, this whole idea that
I think she meant the smell of loud... She said it's so loud, as in, like, smoking loud. So maybe there's a double entendre. I think it was just like the weed smell is soaked up in your hair. That's what happens. When you smoke, you smell like you just smoked. You can tell someone smoked.
I've hot boxed several cars, and I feel like my hair next day after a shower, not so bad.
Yo, I want to tell you something. You smell like weed. If you're around other weed smokers, they also don't smell it. But, like, for someone like me, I can smell people... And they smell like weed constantly. And the way our hair texture is, it soaks in smell very, very strongly and well.
See, I took it a third way. I literally thought she was talking about the pee. And here's what I thought. I think she was like, oh, I've seen this before. People trying to do the condom pee thing. You're not the first person to spill pee in your hair.
But we do know that loud refers to...
Loud means weed.
Loud means weed, like good weed.
That's what I thought.
She was like, yo, it's so loud. Yeah. I mean, she could have meant like it's loudest in here.
Thanks, Alexis.
But I think that it goes... I can't see with Alexis because I'm on the couch by myself.
Alexis tells me my hair smells great. Alexis is a beautiful human being.
Yes. Alexis has never smelled your hair. Here's the thing.
All the time. You don't know my life, Teron.
Excuse you. Don't tell me what I do. Don't even try this.
All I'm saying is this. Okay, so what kind of shampoo does she use, Alexis?
Well, I thought it was like Shea Moisture or something like that, but that's me.
You're so close, girl.
I use
so
Shea Moisture, too.
Yo, she's being racist. She just assumed the black girls would wear Shea Moisture.
She was right.
Yes,
she was right.
She was right. She was right.
That's like me being like, D'Angelo, what kind of lotion do you use? Let me guess. Cocoa butter. Of course he uses cocoa butter. Of course you do. Look at you.
But that's not racist.
Jergens, that's why you're Jay.
You know what? This
See?
Is why Tayron isn't allowed on the show.
Tayron's just going to Godzilla all the women on the show today.
Tayron's not allowed on the show anymore. We good.
You guys
good.
You guys are whiteface right now.
You can have your show by yourself next time. Host it. You know, I know you like to talk.
Hostile.
So, yeah, Atlanta, what are we talking about?
Oh, my God. So amazing. Do we have other questions in the chat? This was just really fast, and we did not get a lot more.
I want to bring us something really quick.
Yes, you can, of course.
Structurally, this episode was fascinating. There were four scenes. There was four act breaks, and each act break was one scene.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Glover wrote and directed this episode.
Ooh.
First of all, direction was great.
Yeah.
Did you notice that when we're talking to Van, after Earn walks in...
His back. It was a shadow.
It was a one shot with no cuts for like a minute and a half.
True.
I just, the editing, props to Donald Glover for a very well directed episode. I think this was his first time directing, so.
It would kind
Not
of,
directing ever, but this,
yeah, this
show.
Show.
This
yeah. Yeah, it definitely was. And we've talked a lot before about, we're not a lot, but we talked right before the show about comparing this kind to Mr. Robot. Like, Mr. Robot doesn't feel the need to abide by any typical television rules.
Right.
Like,
effects in general.
Yeah, truly.
American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's what they're going for. That's what they're going for. And with the act breaks, something that happened is, like, it was very engaging because it definitely made you watch through.
Mm-hmm.
Because it ended in a place you didn't think it would end. There was no... Usually, TV gives you cues. They give you cues on how to think, how to feel. They play music. They play background. Mm-hmm. It's sunny. It's dark. This show does not do that.
Right.
And this episode especially did not do that. It gave you the facts and you were allowed to judge on your own.
Yeah.
So it didn't play mute in the background to make you think this way or that way, except in the opening scene with Jade and Van when the song came on. It's like, are you really happy?
George
and it
Benson played, and it like,
exactly. And it played that just for like an effect. It played for an effect. But other than that, that's what it is. So these commercial breaks were actually there to remind you, this is just a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a TV. Hey, guys, before you get too stressed like D'Angelo, because he was biting nails. This is just a...
I'm still
like, you
would
have thought that was... Like, you were about to take that drug test. This is just a TV show, which made it even more art. Because when art imitates life so well that you think it's life, that's when it's amazing.
Lessons with Tehran today. Getting like, we gotta bring, every time Tehran goes on the show, we gotta get a notepad and like write down
you know, there's
everything.
One more Professor. Thing I wanted to talk about. The episode title is called Value, ooh, right? Yes. And so we hear how Jade values herself. But how do you guys think that Van values herself? And if so, how?
Damn. The whole, I don't even know because I don't know her like that. Like, I only know a little glimpse.
Exactly.
So I don't know how she feels about herself. I only know, like, you know, who she hangs out with, who she's dealing with now.
I think
she obviously has some insecurities.
She obviously has some insecurities for her to have felt jealous about her friend. But, like, you know, I think everybody, like, has something like it. I mean, that doesn't mean she doesn't value herself.
I think she has a lot to learn. I mean, like, I feel like she's between a rock and a hard place. Like, she does have a kid. And, like, Ern isn't providing, I don't know, I mean, like, this whole idea of value, especially within the context of the show, I mean, the whole theme is, like, Paperboy got famous by saying he's all about that paper, like, like, I think value is another huge thing, like, what's everyone's currency, you know, because that's all life is you offer some kind of currency that, and it buys you stuff, and it's not always money, you know?
Mm-hmm. I just think that Van is just, like when she said in the episode when they went on the date, that she's just trying to give her child the resources that she needs in order to survive. Right. I think that right now, maybe she's not too worried about value. She's worried about, you know.
Her kid.
Yeah.
But
and just making it work and staying afloat.
Is a value. See, everyone thought of value as like a currency, but that was not all value is, as Jeff was trying to get to.
I guess she values herself as a mother.
This
for her
whole
child.
Episode was about value. So Jade began starting off about value, having value, what she thought self-value was monetary gain and things that you can get from other people. Then we fast forward to Van valuing her job enough to do things that were almost disgusting and despicable in a way to get there, right? Mm-hmm. Then we also saw what her value was towards Ern, her value of her family, her value of what fun is. And then we also saw another double entendre, which is actual values. Uh-huh. What do you find morally right and wrong? Mm-hmm. And we saw those things all come to play. So it was like a very interesting play on words, in my opinion. I'll end it with that because, you know, even though I'm stating it because it is factual, but it's in my opinion. All I need is a pipe. Why don't I have a pipe?
He thinks, therefore he is.
Bro, why don't I have a pipe right now? Like,
yeah.
I got a comment on the computer that says Tehran was the kid with the white face.
Maybe, but you know what? That just means I'm the most influential part of this episode again.
Thank you, East Blue, for your comments.
We like you, East Blue.
I like this comment a lot. I really like how everyone in this episode was being called in hypocrisy like Paperboy.
Also East Blue Drew.
We're finally putting a microscope on every character.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting ready. This might be moving to predictions a little bit. Do we want to cover anything else before?
No, we're good.
I feel like we got. I missed Darius's episode, but you can't get it all.
I did miss Darius.
I kind of wish you had called Darius.
Darius was in this episode.
Where was he?
He's on the couch
kid
right over there.
Who was wearing white face and spirit.
Yeah,
okay,
you're right.
All right.
That was a Darius-esque move.
I agree with that, though.
So this is like a little, we're okay.
Yeah, moving into predictions. Yeah. It's happening.
And now.
AfterBuzz predictions.
So one thing I would like to see more in this show, this isn't so much a prediction, but I do feel like we're talking about characters being called out for hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. We're talking about putting characters under the microscope. I think I am ready for like a little more stuff to happen. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Conflict?
I'm ready for a little bit more plot. Like, this is such a character-driven show, which I love, but like, we haven't seen a ton of change. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't say it's a very dynamic show.
Okay.
So I think I'm ready.
Right. We never, like, we watch an episode and we never, like, move on up to, like, the next level. It's just kind of like, oh,
which I'm okay with. I haven't been bored yet. And I really, it's the show's so interesting.
Yeah, but you just think, like, for example, like, last week, I honestly thought, like, okay, this week, he got those business cards last week. We about to go in and get some money. And I'm like, oh, wait, we're not doing it.
But they might not write that way.
I know.
The show is linear only because time moves forward, but it's not specifically connected. So the last episode does not truly impact the next episode.
Yeah.
So the next episode, we may not even know what the repercussions of Van losing her job were.
Exactly.
We fast forwarded through time. It's almost like some type of one of those Doctor Who episodes. You're just going right through, like, we're jumping forward.
It's
leap forward.
Really.
Exactly. So we may be in the midst of Van have already lost her job, and now they're on EBT, or she got a new job already, or who knows what's going to happen, right. Or we don't even hear about Van at all.
Yeah. They're short stories. They're, each episode's really its own short story, but I think
Fable. I like fables. To use the term fable. They are fables.
Or parables, almost, even.
It's a serialized episodic series, which is interesting in that they don't really push what's going to happen, but what is happening.
Yeah.
It's a very in-the-moment kind of show.
Yeah.
Which, again, I like, and I think is a really is almost a message to millennials. Like, you know, take a step back and, like, look around and see what's happening. I somebody made a comment earlier, CCF Freak, I never know where the show is going until the credits roll, and I agree with that. Like, I really thought we might have another, like, a fifth act in this episode, and then they, like, maybe she goes back and talks to Ern or something. Nope, they're just like, and done. White face over. Which is interesting. For predictions, I really need something to happen between Ern and Van. They're, like, the tension between those two, it lays me out. Mm. I'm ready for anything. Literally anything between the two of them.
That's what makes the show great, is it doesn't cater to you as the audience.
Right? Yes.
The show's driving force is the show.
Right.
So it doesn't, you wanting something to happen, it plays no part.
I still want it though.
I feel like I'm ready for it though. Like, I feel like at a certain point, tackling a theme each episode, I don't know if I'm buying it as like TV. Like, I'm loving it as like thematic experiences or maybe short films, but like I'm a little ready for a TV show.
But here's the thing, what I'm really valuing about TV as a medium right now is that we completely don't have to adhere to the standard rules of TV.
Right.
But we're not seeing it done on we have cable, whether you have cable, I think of HBO, I think of network, I think of like ABC, and FX is somewhere in the middle of that.
It's like premium access. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I feel like not a lot of networks are taking chances like these guys are doing with their show lineup. And I'm excited by it. Like, yes, I still want things. Yes, I still, you know, I predict and hope for certain things. But the journey is so fascinating that even if it fails, at least it's something new. Even if it doesn't, like, in the end, I'm like, I don't get what happened here. I only need to because they gave it to Donald Glover, who's, like, an actual artist and is like, I'm just going to try some things and I'm going to be honest to my perspective. And I think that's just really fascinating.
So what were the predictions?
I mean, that's the thing. I think the discussion we're having right now shows that
you can't.
There's no threat.
I have a prediction.
What's that?
I mean, we can't.
Toronto.
I have a prediction.
Hey, Ron.
I have one.
I'm on my D'Angelo prediction. Oh, I'm just going to say something really vague. And then when it happens, I'm going to be like, I called that.
Oh,
I said they were going to have someone from Atlanta on the show.
Is this your prediction? Because you're not predicting.
You
know,
you kind of just. I'm just letting you know.
The shade in this room is so strong.
Yeah. I think.
We're on Jay. I'm Jay.
Do you? What is your prediction? You just
My prediction is that this episode won't be as will be more defining than we realize right now.
Mm.
So Van losing this job will be something that, because usually it doesn't carry over. I actually think this is going to be something that is dissected. And if not the next episode, the following episode after that, this will actually play a very pivotal role. Maybe it'll give Ern the motivation that he needed to be like, I have to do something.
Mm.
Maybe Ern will be pushed in the wrong direction in order to do something. Whatever it is, something's going to happen. This is the ticking time bomb you guys have been sitting and, like, we've all been waiting for.
See, you want to see it too. That's the thing. We can admire the really self-contained formula, but I think all of us are itching a bit to see these characters go somewhere.
Well, I just like conflict.
Yeah,
like, I really enjoy drama.
Yeah.
And
right.
What I like about the show so far is they set it up so that when they do, like, the match, boom. Like, whatever's going to happen. Like, and especially, and you might be right, Teron, like, in the fact that the very little bit we do know about Van, one of the things that has been hammered home is she is a teacher. Like, that's what she does for a living.
Exactly.
And we already know how stressed out Ern is from not making money and not sure what he can do next. And luckily he set up an investment for himself. We'll see if the investment from the dogfight pans out.
Oh,
would kind of be cool if, I like the idea of having these kind of loose leaf episodes up front and then all the things we've seen kind of tight, because we still got murder charges potentially. A lot has happened.
You're right.
But it just hasn't connected yet. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I do hope that comes back around. I mean, a trial would not necessarily be bad for Paperboy's career. We see a lot of rappers go to prison and then blow up, you know? I just... so much could happen. I'm excited to see any of it happen. Like, whatever direction they want to take, I trust the writers and the crew of this show to deliver it well. But I haven't seen anything like this, so I don't know.
Do you guys have any thoughts?
I don't know. I never have a prediction because I cannot predict anything.
Audience, you can feel free to throw out predictions.
Somebody said up there, I don't know who it was.
East Blue Deal.
But it was like
East Blue Drew.
Okay, East Blue Drew. East Blue Drew said, "Do you guys think that Paperboy and Vanessa would get together? I think it would be
a great No, I know that will never happen.
Never.
You know why? Because hood value.
So crazy.
You want to know about value? Hood value. Never, ever, ever get with your boys, girl, ever. No matter
that
what.
Is like crazy.
Paperboy would if Ern and Van stopped talking, Paperboy wouldn't even talk to Van like that. Like, it would just
I know. I would read it in a fan fiction, but if I saw it on screen, I would flip a table because it would be weird. I don't think they really like each other. It's one of those things that's a fun relationship.
It doesn't matter if you
like
each other or not. In fact, you can stop liking your boy's girl because you kind of like her. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hate her because, like, there's
you have to do that.
I feel you.
Cold,
I feel
bro.
You.
That's so funny, though.
But again, interesting dynamic. I just don't want to see it.
Do you think the show would ever challenge hood values? Do you think ever we would see that explored?
I don't think so. And I mean, they may talk about it, but I've seen Paperboy adhere to hood values every single time. There is honestly an honor amongst thieves that a lot of like mainstream America doesn't understand or doesn't see or
what
doesn't
are you saying,
get.
Cameron?
I'm saying it's just like a thing. It's like there's an honor amongst thieves that I've seen that's even more honorable than people who others find honorable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's an actual there's a loyalty and there's a truth and a sincerity amongst.
They were doing for a sacrifice. When people are willing to sacrifice for each other unflinchingly, it's...
Ride or die, Joel.
Yes, that.
Ride or die, not just ride in luxury, Raylan.
First of all, before we go, I want to say shout out to all my Jades and shout out to all my Vanessas because we are one, okay?
I like that. I am
both. So I'm half
That's
and half.
Nice. All right. I've been Joel Monique. You can fight me every week at Black Rollers. We are wrapped up, running out of time. This is the panel. They were great. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Joel. You're killing it as always. Guys, thanks for tuning in. For those of you who are watching on BHL or watching on AfterBuzz, I know I'm always explaining it, but there are two shows. Watch both. I'm Jeff Graham. You guys can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham. I'm also reviewing NBC's The Good Place on Thursdays.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It's very different from the show, but equally funny, so you should check it out.
Yes, I'm D'Angelo. Follow me at D'Angelo TV on Twitter. Follow me at D'Angelo on Instagram. Went to the class yesterday. They reminded us we have an audio audience. That's why I'm going to spell my name.
Oh.
D-E-A-N-J-I-L-O. That's how you spell it. Look me up. Follow me. And that's all I got. Oh, we're using a live chat. We're going to do that every episode now. Got it right here on my phone. If you guys have questions or want to comment in any way, please do so. We'll try to incorporate it in the show.
And I am Raylan Taylor. You can find me on Twitter at RayTaylorGang. And I also... recap Younger on Thursdays at 11. Yes. So tune into that. It's very different than the show as well. More Sex in the City and cute.
And before I get to me, I want to thank Alexis behind the scenes for being the sixth member that we don't always get to see.
Woo!
Thank you so much for being you and doing what you do. And so what I do is I'm here with AfterBuzz doing the Atlanta After Show. And also I have Headlines with Headliners, which is also on Tuesdays. So please make sure to tune in. I'm also at the Laugh Factory every Monday and Thursday at 10, which are my shows. Find me, love me, like me, hate me, and I am Tehran. You know where it is.
He invites it all. Also, quick reminder, if you're listening to us on the iTunes, rate us. That helps us know what you guys like. If you don't like it, maybe keep it to yourself. That's okay. We're checking you guys on YouTube, and we love you. Thank you so much for watching. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
You know, I'm not in that.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.